Let's pray. Dear Lord, throughout these Sundays of Advent, we have been looking at various people involved in the Christmas story. Each of them have something to say to us, to share with us, an example for us to follow. Help us, Lord, today to somehow be able to see Joseph in a new way and allow his life story and his walk of faith to be an inspiration to us. For indeed, you chose Joseph to have a very important role to play in Jesus' life. Amen. Joseph. I think that video does a good job of depicting the gentleness and the loving nature of Joseph, because indeed Joseph was chosen by God to fulfill a very important part of Jesus' earthly life. We talked last week a little bit about Mary, and so some of the things we'll say about Joseph are kind of a tag along or an addition to or a connection with Mary. But I just want to remind us that there is no way we can fully understand the depth of Joseph's commitment to Mary and to Jesus. In their tradition, the marriage process had two very important aspects to it. Number one, after the families of the bride and groom had agreed upon the marriage of the man and the woman, there was a formal ceremony in which they were declared as if they were legally married. And then for the next year or two, they were to still continue living separately, but to be making preparation for their final coming together. They were not to have sexual intimacy. They were not to be living together, but they could be seen having dinner together, I suppose, things like this, making plans for that second aspect of the marriage process. Then they were finally brought together. But during this time, Joseph probably was making all the preparations with his carpentry business. He was probably in his late 20s, early 30s. He had already begun to establish himself. Probably his father had taught him the carpentry trade. And he was developing his own business so that he could support a wife and family. Now remember, in this legalistic society, for Mary, the woman, the bride-to-be, to be found pregnant was an absolute disgrace. But she was. She became pregnant. Now can you imagine Mary trying to tell the people in the community, her friends and so forth, yes, I'm pregnant, but I've not been with any man. The child I'm carrying is conceived by God. Can you imagine the people trying to comprehend that? Then what does Joseph feel whenever he finds out that his bride-to-be is pregnant, and he knows he is not responsible? Sure. Their society was a very legalistic society, very judgmental. No room for grace or mercy. His society would have provided him with the capacity to have divorced her, to declare publicly that he is no longer her husband or her husband-to-be, that she has committed a major sin, the child is not his, he is releasing her so she could be married to the father of the child. Because, let the community know, Joseph says, I am not the child's father. But then Joseph also has a visit from an angel. We talked last week about the impact of Mary's visit with the angel and how it changed her perspective. And she was willing to accept her pregnancy and the lot in life that she had, but she still is very concerned about Joseph. What is Joseph going to do? I can just about imagine him having a friend having a conversation with his friend. Let's call his friend Benjamin. Hey, Benjamin, I need to have coffee. Let's go out and get some cup of coffee. And so he sits down with his friend Benjamin, and he said, Benjamin, I've got a real crisis on my hands. Mary is pregnant. And I am not the father. So he and Benjamin talk about it and so forth. But then Joseph says, I had this real strange dream the other night. This entity, whomever, whatever it was, came to me and said something about not being afraid to take Mary as my wife because God has a plan in this strange set of circumstances. And I'm supposed to just trust God's hand in this situation. What do I do, Benjamin? Have you ever had any strange dreams like that? Or I'd like to think it was from God, but does God talk to us that way? I mean, is this just a bad dream? After all, if I don't divorce her and declare our marriage relationship over and done with, I can go on, I can find somebody else, and Mary's going to have to fend for herself. Now, Benjamin says, I don't know, Joseph, what you're going to do. He said, it does sound kind of strange, but yet very peculiar that you should have this kind of a dream. Maybe indeed it is God speaking and God saying, I have a bigger plan for this whole thing than you can ever imagine. And I imagine, Joseph, if you divorce her, you'll miss out on a lot of good things. And after all, you remember the rabbis tell us about this guy in the Old Testament who proclaimed and prophesied that a virgin would conceive and he would be our deliverer. Maybe this is what's going on here. Oh, Joseph, not me. I'm just a common, ordinary person. If God's going to come, God's going to come as a king or a mighty person or an educated, affluent family. We're just dirt poor peasants. I can only imagine how Joseph agonized over that. But through it all, he had the faith to understand that God was in this situation, no matter how bad it was, no matter how much criticism he needed to face, and he did. Believe me, he and Mary both were disgraced by their community. And yet, in the middle of all of that, Joseph had enough faith to believe that God had a purpose in this whole situation, and that somehow or another, seeing God's big picture enabled him to be able to extend grace and forgiveness and mercy and understanding to Mary. Does it seem interesting to you that Joseph was kind of indeed a forerunner of the whole fact that Jesus came to bring grace and forgiveness to our world? But Joseph was also a person in his personal life, was able to find grace in his heart to take Mary as his wife, understanding that despite how many other people in the community could never believe it, yet he understood God's big picture for him. And by understanding that, he was able to see taking Mary as his wife and then Jesus as his own son was a means of extending grace and showing grace and acceptance in a way that the community could never understand. And so I think the first thing that I would like to say about Joseph is that he is an example to us that as we understand God's big picture, it brings purpose and meaning to the every situation in our life that we're going through. And some of us are going through difficult times and very, very challenging things, and people don't understand. And yet, as we understand, God has a purpose for everything in our lives. It can bring us joy. And we can show grace to other people. Now, the second thing I'd like to point out is that there's a very interesting thing that happens. And this is over in Luke chapter 2. Verses 21 and following. Now remember, Mary and Joseph were from the town of Nazareth, which was some 90 miles north of Bethlehem. And they had made the journey down to Bethlehem. I imagine that being quite pregnant, the ride on the donkey for 90 miles might well have hastened her delivery. Think may well have had something to do with it, because maybe he came a little bit sooner than they expected. I can't quite think that somehow or another they didn't try to calculate when she would probably be delivering, but he had to bring Mary along with him, and so they decided to come. 90 miles in those days was quite a major journey. But here they are in Bethlehem, which is only about 5 miles from Jerusalem. So this put them a whole lot closer to Jerusalem and the temple than what they would have been had they been up in Nazareth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. On the eighth day after Jesus was born, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, every male child was circumcised approximately 8 days after birth. Now, you medical people can check me on this if I'm mistaken, but my understanding is that a child needs to be probably 7-8 days old before their body develops the ability to clot blood and so forth to stop the bleeding. And so there was good reason for waiting 7 to 8 days to circumcise him. And so they bring him to the temple. Now, had they been home in Nazareth, that could have probably posed quite a problem. They couldn't have gotten to the temple. That's quite a long distance to travel. They would have had to go to a local synagogue. But here they were able to bring him to the temple to circumcise him. And the process is that a father brings the child in his arms, like we saw in the video. He was laying Joseph gently in the manger. He had to carry Joseph. It was the father's responsibility to bring the child and present him to the priest. And the priest then, after offering some blessings on this new child and everything, the child was circumcised. Children, basically, I am told, I have not witnessed this, but a little child will cry, feel the pain, but it won't last long, and hopefully the blood has been able to clot and the bleeding will stop. And the child soon gets over it and life goes on. But the interesting thing is that when the father presents the child to be circumcised, the father gives the name of the child, not the mother, the father. Now, here is Joseph, not the biological dad, but he's presenting Jesus to be circumcised, and he says Joseph presented Jesus to be at the temple to be circumcised, and he named him. He gave him the name Jesus, means the one who saves. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. It's interesting that the rite of circumcision brings Jesus into the history of the Jewish people. He is then considered a part of the Jewish family and tradition. Remember, Joseph is the one who presents Jesus, names him, and Jesus is proclaimed to be a part of the Jewish family. But there is another part to this that I was not really aware of until preparing for this message. And that is taken up in verses 22 and 23. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, this comes from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, Exodus, where the firstborn male is to be brought to the temple because as a remembrance of what had happened in Egypt, whenever God had struck Egypt and all of the firstborn males were suddenly, they died overnight, as one of the last plagues that God sent upon the people of Egypt, then finally the people were released to leave Egypt to become their own nation. The first male, and then this is written in the book of Numbers and Leviticus, that the first male of any family was considered sacred, was considered God's son, God's child, to be given for service in God's work. You remember Samuel in the Old Testament was brought as a child and given to the temple for service in God's temple and the work. And the mother and father gave up right to that child, and the child was given over to God's work. Every firstborn male of a family was considered God's. And in order for that child to become part of your physical family, you had to come into the temple and give an offering and tell the priest you would accept that child into your family and raise him in a godly way to be part of God's work and God's people. But it was your way of redeeming that child into your family. And this happened at 31 days after birth. There was a process of purification, and the woman needed to be purified from the shedding or from the blood that was shed while she was giving birth. And the whole process, the woman, the mother, was purified and allowed to come back into a worship setting. And the father, again, brought that child to the priest and said, I want to redeem this child back into our home, our family. And an offering was made of 5 shekels of silver. And if you were too poor, all you could needed to do was bring a couple of pigeons, a few cents. And that's what Joseph and Mary brought, because they were peasants, they were not rich people. And so in this process, Joseph brings the baby Jesus into the presence of the priest, and the priest asks Joseph, do you accept this child back into your family? And do you wish to redeem him into your family? Wow. Do you catch the significance? The person who came to redeem us was redeemed by Joseph and brought back into Joseph's family. And furthermore, it wasn't his own biological son. It was just like he was adopted. It's powerful because Joseph was saying, I will accept Jesus and he will be just like my son, although I am not biologically his father. Powerful. Jesus himself at 1 month old was redeemed, and Joseph declared Jesus as part of his family and brought into his lineage. Now, it's important that you had a pure lineage that went back in the first part of Matthew. It reflects all of the generations from Moses the whole way down to Jesus. And Jesus is brought into that lineage even though he is not biologically a part of it. And that's what God does for us. God brings us into his family and makes us his children. That's enough to make a Mennonite say amen. Wow. Talk about a powerful expression of love and grace and acceptance shown by Joseph. There's one more thing I need to look at quickly. And that is, we go back to the book of Matthew and chapter 2. We were in Matthew 1 before, now we go to Matthew chapter 2. The escape to Egypt. Now, after he had taken Jesus to be circumcised, and at a month, he took him and redeemed him into his family. It wasn't long till Joseph gets another heavenly visitor. By this time, he ought to be used to it, right? This time, the message was, Joseph, I want you to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt because King Herod is about to kill all the babies, the baby boys in the area, because you know the story about the wise men. They did not tell Herod they were going home. Herod was kind of angry. Now, Herod was a notorious guy. Herod had even people of his own family killed because he didn't like them. So killing hundreds of people wasn't anything for Herod because he was heartless. But as I got to thinking about this, well, let me read it first of all, the escape to Egypt. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to return. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled the word that said, what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And then later it talks about the angel came to him again and said, this is after 4 to 5 years, Herod has now died. Actually, somebody assassinated him. Somebody wanted to take over, and actually his successor was almost as vicious and cruel. But anyway, stop and think. Here is Mary and Joseph and the little baby Jesus. They had come by donkey, probably, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. That was arduous enough, but that was a trek of 90 miles. Anyone know how far it is from Bethlehem down to Egypt? I didn't have a clue, so I Googled it. Google says between 450 and 500 miles. And they didn't have superhighways like they do now. As a matter of fact, it was mostly desert. Now, Joseph didn't have a U-Haul truck to pack everyone up in and drive down to Egypt, because he had left his carpentry business back in Nazareth. All he had was Mary and now Joseph. Now, folks, I remember when our girls were little, traveling with a little baby is a total different challenge, right? Yeah, amen. Our girls had cloth diapers, and everywhere the girls went, the diapers went, and the diaper pail and everything else, you know, all routine. He had nearly 500 miles to travel on a donkey with a wife and a little baby. Not an easy trek. You see, he was hoping probably to just be able to get back to Nazareth, where they would have family that could help them with the little baby and all that kind of thing. But instead of going back to Nazareth, going back home and getting back to his family business, which he has now left for a couple of months, God tells him, go to Egypt. We read that and we say, oh, this was God's plan to protect him, but we don't stop and think of the challenges involved. But here is a responsible dad who has this responsibility now for a family, and God is saying, flee to Egypt like a migrant. Okay, God, I know this dream thing. We've had this before, and I know you're in it, but I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. How am I going to support my wife and my little child? Oh, yeah, I think we have some second or third cousins living down there in Egypt, but I have no idea what's going on. What does this mean? Now, men, fathers, you know what I mean when I say that brings a lot of fear and anxiety. How am I going to support my wife? How are we going to support this child? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to my business back home? The people I promised to have projects done for, what are they going to do? How long are we going to be down there? Is this going to be a 6-month vacation, or what is it? It turns out to be probably 4 to 6 years. Also, probably while they were in Egypt, there were some more children born. This was the usual custom. It would be unusual if there weren't some other children born into the family. But sure enough, after 4 to 6 years, the angel comes to Joseph again and says, now you can go back home. Okay, God, I don't know about all this. I came down here, I started another business here, and now I have a carpentry business, and I'm supporting this family, and now I have 2 or 3 children, and you want me to go back again? Over 500 miles back home. And after all, the people back home are going to say, Joseph? Oh, yeah. Joseph and Mary. Well, I can understand why he left town, you know. They're going to wonder why we came back. And I know good and well the town will have changed. In 5 years, a lot of things have changed. If you've been away in the service or something, after a couple of years you come back, you realize how different you are and how different everybody else is. I guarantee you, the Nazareth they left is not the same Nazareth they came back to 5 years later. I see here a picture of a very responsible husband and father who sets a pretty high standard for us as men as we think about it, and you women can just listen in for a little bit. I think Joseph is a challenge to us as men to be responsible husbands and fathers, to follow God's plan for us, even though it's difficult. But Joseph showed a commitment to his family that I think is an example for all of us. First of all, he's an example of faith to understand God at work in the big picture. He's an example of grace and acceptance. And finally, he's a good example to us as men to be responsible husbands and fathers. Now, I can only imagine that Joseph looked forward to training Jesus to be a carpenter. I don't think Jesus suddenly had all these carpenter skills and automatically. No, I think Joseph needed to teach Jesus these skills, and I think he did. He probably had this vision of a sign out in front of the Joseph and Son carpenters, fine carpenters. Of course, that didn't materialize either, but I have a feeling that he had all kind of dreams for his son. I've never had the privilege of having a son, but I can only imagine what that would be like. And yet Joseph was willing to be that earthly father to Jesus. God chose Joseph, and I have enjoyed learning to know Joseph in a new way. I hope you have as well. Thank you, Lord, for the example of faithful servants and followers, and especially this man, Joseph, who was chosen by you to show grace and acceptance and to be that responsible dad and papa to this boy Jesus as he grew up. Amen.